Hey, Nathan.
What?
I got news for you. We're live.
I have set my phone down and am now paying attention.
Oh, well, I had my phone up and I'm right on the floor. Hey, guys!
All right.
Welcome to Crippled System Special Saturday Night Edition.
Yeah, the WWE asked us to move so that we wouldn't take away from their viewership.
I want to watch the Rumble tomorrow. That's what I want to do. I want to watch Braun Strowman take the title from Kane and Brock Lesnar. I want to watch 30 women and fight for a chance to win the title and all the other awesome things at the Rumble. The Rumble is awesome. If you're going to get a pay-per-view for WWE, the Royal Rumble is the pay-per-view to watch.
No Stardust.
No, there's no Stardust there, thank God. Because that's a lot of spandex. A lot of spandex.
God bless them. So welcome to episode 200 and mumbledy teen. 225 teen.
Teen. Next week, we're...
75 times 3.
Yeah. Oh, true. Well, next week is a special edition episode.
Sure, yeah, but I was going to say my name is Nathan.
Oh, we're going to go through intros?
I play Usurper Create Deck just to piss off all my opponents. I'm going to post it on Reddit and watch it implode.
And I'm Dave, and I play Kador, primarily, I guess.
I love how sure you are of that.
It can change regularly. I mean, I got some harpies I'm working to build for Retribution, so who knows what I'll be playing. But right now, I am playing Irusk 2 mostly and enjoying it in Legion of Steel.
I'm Andy, and I stay home on Wednesdays and go out on Thursdays.
You're supposed to go out on Wednesdays.
I know I was supposed to go out on Wednesdays. It's like the last couple of times, I just haven't been feeling well. So, but I think I play Kador.
You don't do Yoggoth runs anymore, so or
Yogg-Saron. No, I'm done with fucking Yogg-Saron. Finally, I'm done with Old War until they add it, because it, right now it's actually been added to the time walking part of the game. So now they have the normal dungeons and they have time walking dungeons. So you can go back and you can revisit some of the older dungeons. They scale your level to it, and so you fight in there. And then they just added time walking raids, in which you can go back, like right now is the Burning Crusade time walking, so you can go back and fight in the Black Temple, if you're familiar with playing in back then. So you can fight in the Black Temple now, but once they do the time walking for Wrath of the Lich King, you can actually go back and play in Old War.
Wow.
And I don't think I'm going to do that, because I've been in that dungeon a lot. A lot.
Yeah, Wrath of the Lich King was the only expansion that I didn't actually play, didn't actually raid some when it was live. Although I didn't really raid in Legion, too, and I never had time this expansion yet.
I've just done the looking for raid stuff. Yeah. And that's, I mean, it gets you the storyline. That's all you really care about. At least I care about. I don't have to be number one lead person on the server with the gear. I have to be number one lead person on the server with pets, though.
Yesterday I played a Usurper mirror match, which was interesting because I played my Usurper and it gave me Harold the Cripple, and he played his Usurper and got a mirror, and then we used our K-Hears to resurrect each other's Usurpers to make more different leaders. So in a two-player game, we played six different leaders. It was kind of cool.
There has been talk about people wanting to see Gwen talk over on...
I saw that.
On our Guild Ball podcast.
I was tagged, so I saw that, but I couldn't respond because I'm not a member of that group.
Which is weird, because usually they don't... Oh, because it's a public group, maybe?
I don't know, but it showed me that I had been tagged, so I could read there, but there was no respond button. It's good times.
Yeah. The Guild Ball podcast doesn't need Gwen talk.
I'm just saying I'm trolling in fold mode, and it's great. Because that create mechanic, you know, which is like the Discover in Hearthstone, everybody fucking hates it. And so I made a deck where literally every single card in my deck does it. And I don't get any good games ever. Everybody just hates me so much. I'm just like gymming like nobody's business. So like I said, I'm going to post on Reddit where they, I mean, they are like, oh my God. Like it is, I'm trying to think of metaphors for how much they hate the create mechanic without like going to the Godwin's Law aspect of hating something.
Wow.
And so I want to post my list and just watch them just literally try to dox me and murder me. It'll be great.
No.
They'll hate it so much. And I'll just be like, I don't know what's wrong. It's a good deck. It's a lot of fun. You never know what's going to happen. And then blood will shoot out of their eyes defensively. It'll be great.
By some definition of great, I'm sure.
Well, you know, yep. You have to find fun where you can find it.
Yep. So, we had the ATC that happened.
Yeah, we did. Well, let's do the... Should we do the announcements first?
Announcements.
Next week and whatnot?
We have announcements for next week.
Okay, well, maybe not. So we'll just talk about the ATC instead. It was cool. Yay.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I was done.
Okay.
No.
I mean, we originally were going to have something after the ATC, and it just fell through. And then Dave couldn't show up, and then I couldn't find a replacement, so I decided to call it.
I will say that it is a shame that we weren't able to get hardwired internet this year because we really, really wanted to, but because of the ownership change of the hotel, it just was apparently not something that they could figure out. But next year, like, I don't care if I have to pay for it out of pocket. I will make sure that we have live streaming games at the ATC next year because people kept requesting that.
Yeah, that was pretty much. I mean, I really wanted to do some recording. I know Learn to War Game did a lot of recording of the games there. They had a lot of stuff set up for tables and that.
And I know a bunch of their games are now viewable public because they were out there, but they were like private because they like put them up first and I don't know, whatever. But they're out there now.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good games out there.
Yeah, because they recorded 2 every round, I think. So that's 10 games.
They had at least 3 different setups.
Oh, do they have a third one? Because I know that the main... Like the table where we put the championship had one at both ends of the pod, so that was 2. But if they had more set up elsewhere,
there's a couple of other setup. Down. I think there was at least 4 different recordings going on.
That's at least 20 games.
Yeah. So I brought my equipment down there. I didn't actually run any of my equipment because I don't know if I would have had time to actually set it up. The amount of judge calls I was running over there. I think next year, and this is something I'll bring up in our meeting thing too, I think next year we should have a second judges table on the other side.
Well, so, we did.
Yeah, I know. That was me. But I mean, something where if we can actually connect onto a database or something like that where we could both enter in results on either side.
Oh, a reporting. Okay.
It might help out, ease out that a little bit.
Well, no, I think what we really just needed was a computer monkey. Need somebody who they don't even have to know anything about judging or the game. Like Raylene could come and do it. You know what I mean? She could just sit at the counter and enter
play
shit.
Play the Switch all day.
She can play my Switch.
Well,
my Switch. She can play on her Kindle.
The others.
She can play on the Kindle. Wait, what?
What?
Mm-hmm. There's another Switch?
I'm not.
Okay.
But no, the ATC was fun. And I just wanted to have a shout out for Seth for giving us mead, which was very good.
Yes. I drank that mead.
Seth? No, that's Sean.
Sean.
Sean, yeah. Sean.
Yes. I have some of that mead downstairs still.
I drank Sean's mead out of the glass that Professor Luss gave me. So it was a souvenir gift combo.
My God, I am so sorry. I thought it was... I'm terrible with names.
Sean McKeon or
Yes.
Yeah.
I completely botched that name. I am sorry.
That's okay. There's an H and almost a T in there somewhere, so it comes close to being Seth if you rearrange it and add at least one letter.
I try to remember my beer brother's names.
I think you'll find that mead is not a beer. Oh, beard.
A beard.
Oh, I didn't hear the D. I thought you said beer brothers.
Yes. Your own bearded system.
You didn't hear the beerth.
Oh man, we're already planning out all the equipment for the basement in the convent for brewing.
Are you gonna are you gonna shave your head too? So you can go monk style, just actually have just like the center part. Just
was not planning on that.
No, but you should.
A monastery; it's a convent. So I need to get a sex change and then dress like a penguin.
Well, you can just wear a habit. I mean that.
I try to not make it a habit to do things like that. I don't get it.
pun.
Oh, okay. But yeah, no, because Robert and Jamie, they went to Milwaukee and to some kind of brewery convention that was going on and bought a whole bunch of gear. So exciting. But there's more brewing stuff. So the mead stuff's just slightly different. But we'll...
Yeah, mead is just, you mix it together and kind of let it sit.
Yeah, because mead's more wine. It doesn't have the fast fermenting aspect as much.
Correct. So is Robert, is he actually in the reserves then? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure how his service was.
Reserves. True story. But yeah, you played at the ATC. Like, yes. I was just like, it ran. And so my weekend consisted of, you know, answering judge calls and making a shitty usurper deck.
Was that what you did at the ATC, is make that stupid deck?
Well, after Saturday night, after we finished the third round, I stayed up till 2 a.m. playing Gwent.
Well, that was you and Keith in the...
Yeah, Keith and I just in the lobby playing Gwent.
I was out there for a little bit doing my WoW stuff, but then...
No.
I was doing Divinity.
Yeah, you were doing Divinity.
I played in the ATC. I enjoyed it. It is always a great event. Nathan always runs great events. We got some of the statistics back for that. And I just have a message for a lot of the local people in the Madison meta that outside of me, Harkovich went 1-6. And the other caster I've played the most recently, Kaliso, had a 22% win rate.
So you play garbage.
I play bad casters, so everybody around here can stop complaining. Because all I play is bad casters.
They don't complain about your casters. You play bad casters with 14 heavy warjacks.
That is not true. I only play with 8.
Yes. It ain't your casters we hate, David.
I only play bad lists, so...
I will say this, that the event kind of got me excited for playing War Machine again, which is a shame because, you know, I still suck. But I was looking, and they changed some subtle stuff in the Gator side of the Minion faction. Mm-hmm. And what I hadn't noticed previously, and this is most notably because they altered one of Malok's spells, but Gators have 0 ways to buff armor.
Until now.
No? Malok? Who buffs armor now?
Doesn't Malok do it?
For his warrior models. Okay, so specifically, my point is, this is good design for the Krakow man, the Dracodile. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are like, oh, Dracodile, and then you like throw Spiny. Oh, wait, Spiny's self only. Well, you throw Malok spell. Oh, no, Malok spell doesn't work. And like 17 people kept going through that same process when talking to me. And so it's very interesting. I'm not sure how far in advance they altered those little things to make sure that Gators couldn't just go, fuck you, armor 25 Dracodile. Now, on the other hand, Sturm can run up Dracodile with Polarity Shield, and that's kind of sexy.
Yep.
Things that can't be charged are difficult to take out.
Can't be charged and surrounded by 5 inches of water.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's... Yeah, that's the great thing about the Red Battle Engine, though, too. You can't charge that stupid thing, and it'll just shoot the hell out of you until you get to it, finally. Yeah. And then when you're in melee with it, it'll just shoot you anyway.
No, it's arm 22 against free strike, so it just walks out and shoots you anyway.
Well, that, and it's got Gunfighter.
Yeah.
So, I mean... No, yeah.
Good times.
It'd be nice to get you back in the fold again.
Yep. I mean,
we'll get you some Ambien, and then...
maybe when I have a Dracodile.
Well, he's at work right now, so otherwise I would have him here with you.
Legionnaires has a feral question in the chat. How many Warhogs and Roadhogs should I have? And then somebody in chat responded, 2 of each. 2 of each is probably fine. It is feasible to run a Carver list with, like, 5 or so Warhogs and just abuse Baton to mobility and just do a David style nothing but heavies list, and that can work really well. Arcadius can also run a list like that, where he just takes like 5 or 6 Warhogs and just shoves them down your throat with his feet.
Would you want the Roadhogs in there though for Arcadius?
One of them, maybe 2. The issue is Roadhogs going from 2 to 3 loss Pathfinder on their dial, which was it's the only out and out nerf that Minions as a whole, I believe, well, pigs specifically for sure, but I think it's the only flat out nerf that they got going from 2 to 3, which is that the Roadhogs lost Pathfinder on their dial, which was a pretty big deal. But yeah, Roadhogs, I never ran more than two of them. They're handy, but two was handy. Warhogs, I would sometimes run a half dozen. But two of each is probably reasonable, especially now that there's more options.
I don't know minions as well as I should, yeah. So.
Well, back when there was literally just Warhogs and Gunboars, and that's all you had. Like, you would just get a couple Gunboars and a half dozen Warhogs, and that's all you could do.
Yeah.
But it just, it still works, but it's kind of gimmicky. It's a, you know, like I said, it can work if you're into that kind of thing. Either Arcadius or Borka, not Borka, Jesus Christ, Carver with a half dozen Warhogs is doable, but realistically, two and two is fine.
No, well, that's actually a pretty good subject to bring up. Because we haven't actually done, we haven't done like a year in review type thing that we talked about. We haven't done that. We haven't done what we plan on doing for the next year.
Oh, the cool plans in 2018's thing. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. But no, let's hear David talk about his ATC experience, and then we can move on to their announcement for next week. We can answer some of the stuff in the chat. An active chat this week. That's what I like.
Yeah, so no, I was on Team Pegasus Prime at the ATC. It was a great event. I went in and did poorly because I kind of had my Harkovich list with eight heavies. And I will say I was pretty happy that I was responsible for 75% of the Harkovich wins at ATC. However, I made a pretty big mistake, and that was that I had a Zirkova 2 list to pair with them that was I wasn't really intending to play. And my bluff got called, and I lost on clock twice as a result of it. But I was happy with my Harkovich games. We played five good teams and enjoyed all of it. I had a moment. I had a moment after one of the games where I
don't time out my brother just because he's trying to ask sumo questions in chat.
I almost made him admin again.
Don't do that either.
Sorry, I won two out of my three games by throwing something on top of the other caster and using rules of least displacement to push their caster close enough that I could charge it with something else and then killing it. And after winning a game against Amon doing this, I offered up to my opponent that I won through use of throw bullshit.
Sure.
And he corrected me and said, no, that wasn't throw bullshit. That was a brilliant use of the rules. And that is now my favorite euphemism for stunning bullshit.
Is it a brilliant use of the rules.
Yes. So that happened. I lost to a Crix player in playing Beast Handlers first round. Or playing on the Beast Handlers team first round.
I was going to say, yeah. They can't bring, yeah, they can't like, the, that's a scorn unit. And plus, it wouldn't do much good in their
Crix anyway. Yeah. They lost to a Crix player on that team. And as I said, I kind of had my bluff called because I wasn't really planning on playing Zirkova 2. Second round, I played into a Venethrax player that was running Jack Spam and was not very familiar with the Jack Spam into Jack Spam game, and I kind of crushed that one. Then the next round, I played...
Well, Jack Spam is your you know, you're like, you come into my house, you try to play my game, I'll show you how it's done.
Yeah. I mean, that was, the, I mean, one of the, I mean, I think Harkovich versus Amon is one of the more interesting matchups in the game. And
sure.
I played it several times in a tournament setting on both sides of the table.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I played one guy who was playing Amon, and I understood the match a whole lot better and had an advantage as a result of that. Probably the other match I won was into Kalissa, who was apparently a terrible caster. Little did I know, because I mained her for several months.
And I mean, she's terrible if you suck, because she's actually really good.
Yeah, yeah, I love Kalissa. I did not understand how she came up with a 22% win rate. I mean, I contributed to that by beating one Kalissa player. But
Rhett had really shitty win rate in general at the ATC, and I do wonder how much that was bus throwing.
That I am really
curious. That's the weird thing about the statistics from an event like this is that you could have like the dominant faction have zero wins just because of, you know, the way that the team system works.
Yeah.
It can warp those statistics.
Yeah, but it seems strange. it makes more sense to do that on the high end of winning, because you definitely you're going to see that in cricks that cricks or just any meta boogeyman in general, is that in a lot of cases you're going to have bust throwing where people don't seriously contest those matches. But it seems weird to me that Retribution, which as far as I can tell is competitive, or at least has competitive lists, doing 22% overall, and especially Kalissa also had a 22% win rate. And I, locally here in Madison, a lot of people don't like to see Kalissa because of how strong she is. So I just cannot, I do not have a good explanation for that.
The nature of the team event skews a lot of statistics. If it was just a random matchups, yeah, sure, maybe. But you have that strategy in there. It's like, you know, you're going to send in their best player. You're going to send in, you know, whatever. Yeah. You're going to go throw him to the wolves.
Yeah. Just the main thing. 40% on a really strong caster would be one thing, but 20% on a really strong caster is weird. I don't know. There's a statistical anomaly of some such going away. I don't think just bust throwing explains that.
It could be too. I don't know the players who all played the Retribution models, but it's possible. Maybe that was a faction they weren't comfortable with.
Yeah, it could.
And they were just given a list to say, hey, play this one.
Yeah,
and that. Because it didn't match up with what their team dynamic was.
Because David on your team played a faction that he doesn't normally play. Or not David, I'm sorry, Dan mm-hmm. on your team played a faction he doesn't normally play.
Yeah, so that could have been like that for other teams too.
Yeah.
And like I said, even a strong caster, if every team has a Superman, but every team also has a Kryptonite, and you always pair your Kryptonite against their Superman, Superman's going to win no games, right? And so it's just a difficult-to-digest format because of that.
Yeah. But my win into Kalissa, I was playing Harkovich into Kalissa, and that game was not really fair from the beginning because I have a lot of experience with both casters, and to a certain extent, I built my Harkovich list to beat Kalissa, and I think it's a really bad matchup for Kalissa. And I knew both sides of the table really well, and just plowed through that one.
Sure.
Yeah. So you're part of that reason.
Yeah, I contributed to it. But again, I'm more proud of being responsible for 75% of the Harkovich wins at ATC. Legionnaires in chat said...
There's a lot of people in chat saying a lot of things.
Said they sent me some feedback. I have a number of things that are unanswered yet, and I will apologize that being between the ATC and some other stuff, I have one of the major exams in my PhD process coming up next week, so I am behind on a lot of conflict chamber stuff. Yeah. So I will apologize if I haven't gotten back to anything yet. I know I have a few completely unread emails on my conflict chamber account.
Yeah. And there were those 4 days in jail when they pulled your warrant like that. Eat into stuff.
Yeah, well, there's that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, the small Indiegogo campaign that we had to get to make his bail.
Yep.
So next week, February 4th, February Sunday, 4th. Like normal, at 7 p.m. Central Time.
Right during the middle of the Super Bowl.
Fuck the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh boy, we get to watch shitty cheaters win again because they're shitty and they cheat. Fuck them.
Yeah. So we're gonna have the Wills on the podcast.
Yep,
Pagani and Hungerfjord, special guests from Privateer Press.
I'm not sure how many other folks are gonna be there, but we're gonna try to see if we can handle a.
I can G-rate like a motherfucker.
What? You can't, but no.
Yeah, or you talk about the Skyping.
Just Skyping itself. I'm hoping what I might do is I'm going to see if I can try to record the audio separate, or maybe see if they can maybe record audio on their end, and then
splice
I can
just together.
Splice it back together.
Sure.
Because Skype audio is not really the greatest in the world, but if I can see if I can get them to pop in, you know, Audacity and just record audio at the settings that we normally do, and then we can splice it together and we have a nice... solid, nice sounding audio podcast.
Well, we'll try. Maybe we should, like, you and I should practice sometime this coming week. I can like Skype and we can see what it sounds like. Yes. Yeah, to make sure, because we want to be live, obviously, so that people in chat can ask questions. Because I'm not sure how forthcoming they'll be with certain things, but, you know, there may or may not be a new faction coming out, and these people may or may not be from the company that's releasing that faction.
Mm-hmm.
So they may or may not talk about that faction.
I did mention that they were going to talk about subjects closely guarded.
Yeah, yeah.
Guarded.
Like CG. Their favorite Nathaniel Hawthorne play.
Is it The Crucible?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Was that Winona Ryder in The Crucible?
She was in one of the film adaptations of The Crucible, yeah.
I had no idea it was a film adaptation of it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't even playing in there, but I know she was in something.
It's about the witches in Salem.
Oh.
The Salem, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so we'll be... I mean, I know Chain Attack is doing something this week or something like that with them.
I think they're recording Wednesday or Thursday.
What? I thought we were going to get the drop.
No.
Bastards.
No, I actually... Yeah, I saw that Trevor had posted something about it already.
I'm going to yell at Jay. Fuck you.
When do they normally release Chain Attack?
It might be after ours, too.
That's true. Because since we're going live.
We're going live, and it's usually out that Monday afterwards. So I think it's pretty amazing that it's awesome. Thank you, Privateer, for coming on to our podcast. Because, I mean, we've been around... Besides Muse, we are the oldest that's been on the Muse Network. We're one of the few out there that's been doing this a pretty long time for War Machine Hordes. We may not always have War Machine topics, but you know, we're War Machine adjacent. We talk about it a little bit here and there, and this is exciting. It's kind of neat that I can count on one hand of how many times we've actually had like special, you know. Business guests, I guess, what would we calling it? People in the industry guests. I can definitely count on one hand for that. But it would be pretty cool.
By the way, Crucible is Arthur Miller. I was thinking of, what's the one Nathaniel Hawthorne did?
You're asking the wrong person. I don't know.
I'm Googling.
I don't know how to, I don't know how to read. Like, the last book I read was, I don't remember.
Yeah, he did the Scarlet Letter. That's my issue. Oh, well. The point is, Crucible Guard.
Yes.
Yep. I know that it's kind of something that they're planning on doing is checking out, spoiling some things for the Crucible Guard. So it'll be interesting to see what they have on our episode.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. What is that beaked thing?
Oh, it's an owlbear.
That is an owlbear.
Yeah, it's an owlbear. It's from GameholeCon.
Are you uncivilized? That is an owlbear.
Yeah, it's a derpy owlbear. I think his name is Derpy as well.
But David, hand me that owlbear, if you would be so kind. Because what I like about these particular owlbears is that you can do this, and then they're like, they look like they're like a lion or something. Because you can put their hair up there. There. Now he's got a good fro.
Yes.
But I think it was originally designed by John.
I was giving it to you to put it back there, but you can keep it by your mic if you want to. Goodbye.
Jesus Christ, David.
Goodbye, mysterious stranger.
it's a Kovalik design. They have they had a boulette for the
boulet.
Yeah, boulet.
Creme brulee.
No. Creme brulee. Yes.
I think creme brulee monster. I always pronounce it as a boulet for
to blave.
Boulet,
which as we all know means to bluff.
No.
What?
B-U-L-B-U-E-L-E-T-T-E.
I don't understand why that monster was chosen, because it's one of those things. I look at the word and I was like, yeah, I remember reading that from a monster manual, but I couldn't recall off the top of my head what it actually was.
Oh, it's a type of dumpling. Well, I googled B-O-U-L-E-T-T-E.
B-U-E.
Oh, that makes more sense. Dumplings are delicious.
Yes, they have one of these. They've had one of these.
Oh, he's cute. He's got a little beaky face. Oh, it's the land shark. Sure.
Yeah. I fought those things when I was playing D&D 2nd Edition. So I remember those things.
See, this guy's coming. He's like, hi, guys. I'm coming off the ground. What's going on?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, are we going to go down and swim in the pond later? I'm so excited that we're friends.
Yeah, they have one of these plushies, you know, Kovalik design plushies for the last three game hole cons, and we had an owlbear and then the bullet, and the most recent one was a mimic, and the mimics aren't on sale yet, and I'm sad because I want a mimic.
Mimics are pretty cool.
Yep.
I mean, that could be a mimic.
Yeah. Oh, I just realized I'm missing one of my mini crates. I have another mini crate to put on to the stack.
Especially because my six-year-old loves to watch when I'm playing Dark Souls and says, "Oh, is that a treasure monster?" And he likes treasure monsters, so we need a mimic.
I don't know where my mini crates are. I don't know where anything is right now. My life is disaster.
Yeah, I saw pictures of your house.
Christ almighty. Yeah, it sucks. We've given up. We have just given up.
You're just going to move? All you're going to move is like a bed, a TV, and your PS4?
And then just burn the old place down.
Yeah.
Well, don't tell our neighbors.
It's attached to other people's houses. No,
fuck them. That's what they get.
What?
Oh, Lord. What? No, you should be playing Bloodborne. That's the best Souls game.
I like Bloodborne, but I don't know. Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3 are probably my favorite. Oh, man.
It sounded like you were going to say 2, and Dark Souls 2 is the worst Dark Souls.
I don't know what games 3, yeah. Jason Souls likes.
Jason Souls would like Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Bloodborne was great,
though. Which reminds me, I have to get my copy of Bloodborne back from you. And why? You have to have a copy of the other one. Because you haven't beaten it.
I haven't beaten it yet, no. So, are you ever going to play it?
I might.
Okay.
I wanted to do the stream of Drunk Andy tries to get through Bloodborne or Dark Souls.
Well, you know.
Because I'm going to steal your format because your format is entertaining. It could be Drunk Andy and Nathan tag team Bloodborne. That could be fun.
I'm up for this too.
Yeah.
I'm up for some drunk Bloodborne. Yeah.
Yeah.
Miso reposted this question. I did see it the first time. We were just going to get to it because I thought it'd be a longer topic and we wanted to make sure we got our announcement out first. So we will talk about your question later. Also, we'll talk about Adam's question later too. About Georgian dominance in sumo.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of stuff in back there. I'll scroll back when it's time.
Yes.
But no, that's a great thing about talk about ATC.
Oh, now I have to murder you non-Euclidean Nick.
Why is that?
Because Miso said question for the ATC guy, and Nick said Travis isn't on the podcast.
Oh. So the Game of War Machine is better in individual play, or is the future in tourney play? I mean, basically individual play, I feel you still really want to play with scenarios. I mean, I think the scenarios edition, the 2017 scenarios have made the game better overall, I feel.
Drastically.
Well, what does that have to do with I mean, you're always going to play with the scenarios.
Better than team the individual. I was thinking of...
They're talking about the
team format.
Yeah, they're not talking about like the two caster or... Yeah, just the team format versus individual.
No.
I was thinking of like a individual as in when you're playing with, you know, local game store.
Oh, no. Individual. No, you mean the five-person format versus one. Or even the three-person that we did at the WITC.
Yeah, the WITC was great as well. I much prefer the team format. I think it allows you to do a lot more interesting things with list design, and especially the big thing I like about the team over the individual settings is that when you're putting your pairing together for them, you are allowed a little bit of slack about some matchups, and you don't have to sit there. You don't have to sit there and try to predict everything you're going to see and try to have an answer for everything. That it's okay in a 3-man and especially in a 5-man situation if a couple people say, "Yeah, I have no answer to Ghost Fleet. I'm going to go for a 40% assassination and then go get a corn dog."
Yeah, or also as far as like having no answer for, to go back to my Superman Kryptonite thing.
Yeah.
If you've got Superman on your team and they have Kryptonite, you can just make sure that you have the Kryptonite guy fight against Batman.
Yeah.
Right? That you don't need to cover that gap. Your Superman can answer 90% of the stuff and you can try to avoid that 10%.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think having some ability in the competitive games to say, "No, I don't want to play that." I think it makes the competitive game better.
The teams I saw that have, like, it's amazing the amount of tactics that's added. Like, it isn't, some teams are just like, "Hey, we're five people, we'll just play and we'll try to match up whatever we can match up." But some, the reason the list lock is ahead so much and we put all the lists out publicly is some of those teams had binders with laminated sheets with the lists of every single other team, and they had like 20 different possible arrangements of their team versus their team to make sure, like, well, we want A to play against our A to play against their D, but if they get to match up first and they make A play B, then we'll have C play D. And like, they had these whole spreadsheets where they were putting more thought into the goddamn matchup system than you would think you'd put into the games themselves.
Was it like a giant board that had like everything pointing to sender?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was totally like, that's the thing, is like, they had all these matchups, and all these matchups kept matching Pepe Silva, but there's no Pepe Silva. Like, I went through that tournament like looking 50 for, times, and there Pepe is Silva. No Pepe Silva. All these people are making matchups, and these people don't exist, Andy.
And sender, too, as well.
But yeah, I mean, it's also interesting because one of the things we did in our team that actually the winning team from San Diego did as well is that we made an effort to have a lot of the same trick in our lists. So we had four Cloudwall teams, as did the winning team from San Diego.
To prevent people from avoiding those bad matchups by having multiple of them? Sure.
Yeah, so we don't. So, I mean, you in our matchup, you would have to have a lot of anti-Cloudwall lists to feel confident because we had, well, to be fair, we had three Cloudwalls and a Forest Wall, but we had four. Or line.
LOS sure. wall blocking. LOS sure. wall
things.
Well, I think the one thing to talk about, too, is the team format has always been really popular. And this goes back to Mark II. I mean, that's basically when the WTC was invented. I think it originally started with the Crucible down in Florida originally, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Crucible?
Did anybody make sure that nobody escaped from that place? Did they have some kind of a Crucible guard?
Oh, potentially. Yeah. But I mean, it's always been a really popular format. So it's not something that's specifically for the game now, but I mean, it's that style of tournament format has always been extremely popular.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I mean, I thought the Wisconsin Team Championship was a smaller tournament than the ATC, but was a lot of fun and provided a lot of interesting games. And I would really like to see a lot more people running three-man tournaments because it's three-man team tournaments because it's a lot easier to put a team together.
Yeah, and people have been doing three-man team tournaments. They've been using the Commander, whatever the hell that format was called. I forget. Oh, the Three Commanders, right? Is that what it was called?
Commander's Crucible.
No, yeah, well, no.
Commander's
Guard?
No, yes, the Commander's Crucible Guard.
I'm not trying to tie it into
Commander's Crucible was the thing, that was the solo one where you built like the battle group and you had the infantry that you swapped in. One where you had the three players on three players and you were supposed to rank your three like skill-wise. Like we'd say David's the best, Andy's middle, and I suck. And then when we faced the other team, their best plays against David, their middle plays against you. That was the go-to three-player format for a while. Yeah. But the one that we did for the WITC worked really well. We stole that from a Germany event, but that's solid. And with that one now being out there, people should run that because that was fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys locked down WITC yet?
WITC.
Yeah. Have you guys locked that down yet or have an idea of when it's going to be?
It'll be this year sometime.
Okay.
Probably in the summer or early fall.
All right.
Probably at the Elks Lodge.
What?
Yeah.
All right. I was just curious possibly when that was going to be because I would like to.
We'll figure it out sooner rather than later and we'll throw it out there. Yeah, so that's a good topic.
Yep.
Now on to Georgian sumo dominance.
Are Georgians winning in sumo?
A sumo tournament that just ended. A guy from Georgia, the country.
I was going to say that was the next question. Are we talking about Georgia Atlanta or Georgia Tbilisi? No.
Georgia Tbilisi. Yeah. So the guy from Georgia Tbilisi won an event. So that's pretty exciting.
Well, I was going to say I'm not going to say anything. Say something incredibly bad, and I just realized I'm not gonna say something.
Fair enough.
I'm surprised nobody from Wisconsin has won the sumo tournament.
So Miso Muso is talking about in the Warhammer team games, you put your players down at the same time. That's how the three-person matchup event that we were talking about that we do so the WITC goes.
Yeah,
so.
The WITC matching process I think was fantastic. That it created situations where usually every game was interesting.
And
also one of the things I loved about it is that there wasn't a drastic advantage to winning the die roll to go first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was really happy with that, and I think more people should do it. And I just think more people should run three-man team tournaments.
Could we announce the mercenary thing?
I have no idea what you're talking about, so probably not.
For the ATC.
Well, I don't think there was a thing.
Well,
I'm going to go with no, because whatever you're talking about, I have no idea what you're talking about. So it's probably not something official yet. It was probably just something we were talking about.
Okay.
Okay, right. Then.
We have talked about it.
Yeah, we've talked about it, okay, but right. Talking about something doesn't mean that it's a go.
Darn, I want it to go.
Okay. We got a year to go before the next ATC. There's a lot of shit that ain't set in stone yet. You calm yourself, Andy.
No, I want to make it my baby.
Okay. Next topic before Andy poops himself.
No, that's a turtle. I don't make turtles. No turtle head poking out. So what's going on?
I don't know. We had other questions. Scroll up. We had stuff, Andy. We had in chat.
Well, somebody was talking
basically
about
zappity grumbles. Basically, fuck the Super Bowl. We all agree on that. Super Bowl's the dumbest. It's more further back. Oh yeah,
I think we got an active chat today.
Any cool plans for 2018? Content plans, gaming plans, reading plans, etc., and so forth.
Reading plans. I mean, I'm going to be reading a lot of papers in computer science, but otherwise, I don't know.
So basically, one of the things. I mean, I wanted to make sure that the podcast was going to stay on schedule, and I failed within the first month of the podcast staying on schedule. Since we're a three-man team, I've been trying to get other folks in the local area to join us as well, and that's been mediocre. It's pretty much just been us for that. I mean, I want to do more movie pain trains. I want to do more battle reports. It's just getting folks to participate in those.
I'm going to be doing a fuckload of remodeling.
Yeah.
I'm going to be so busy.
Yeah, that's... yeah. Did you seriously think about that before you bought the house?
Well, we were going to just leave it at, 30 rooms. And I was mostly okay with that. But now, because of the way it's coded multifamily, and so to make it easier to recode it single family to refinance the loan and stuff like that, we have to combine some of the rooms so that it's less absurd. Most specifically, three kitchens is apparently something that they squint at when you're trying to code a building as single family. So yeah, we're gonna knock down a wall instead of two big kitchens, have one gigantic kitchen. Like, that kitchen's gonna be 30 by 40. It's just gonna be this giant fucking kitchen.
We'll just make a walk-in freezer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, we were looking at a pantry, walk-in freezer, definitely, with all that fucking space.
I'm going to be continuing working on Conflict Chamber. We are slowly getting to the point where people can enter in events. We actually had a small local event running through Conflict Chamber today. One of the events in Franklin, Wisconsin, and should be at the point in the near future where anybody can just can come in and post their event and post a link to it and get list validation and registration and list validation done easily. I'm also going to be working on a setup so where once you post that or post a weekly game night, anybody coming to the front page will see a map of events posted near them. And that's my big thing for Conflict Chamber for this year, is I want to improve it a bit and especially get better list posting and more of an idea of finding out what's going on around where you are to facilitate more people gaming with it. And I'd like to fix the CSS a bit, but A, I'm bad at it, and B, I don't have a lot of time.
Could there be a gaming version of almost like Tinder, but instead of looking for people to fuck, you're looking for game? And so you have your profile be what you like to play. And so when you're sitting home and bored, you're just nah. Ooh, worker placement. And you swipe right. And then you meet and you play Zulkin together.
What would you call it?
I don't know. Gamer with just the R, like Tinder just has the tind and then the R. Be gamer. I don't know. And then obviously you'd play Zulkin and then fuck. I mean, you have to. That's how these things work. But
it gets a little weird when you play five tribes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have now invented the concept of worker placement and chill.
Oh, no! Somebody might have already done it. Bullshit. I'm going to Google this and see if they stole my player. Player's nice.
Yeah. I don't like meeting new people, so that would not work for me.
Oh, Gamefer's kind of that, but I don't know if with the swiping, I think it's more like a social media. Fuck you, Gamefer. Idea stealing pieces of shit. They stole my idea like a year ago when they did it first. Rude.
Yep.
Well, I guess, I mean, other plans too. I mean, I don't know.
Watch all the Star Trek movies.
we could try to plan that. I don't think that's ever going to work. I can't get Jake to do anything. Jake is always not, he's like, yeah. No, you can't. After you're done talking to him face to face, he doesn't do anything after that. At least my experience. Because he was supposed to be the fourth person on this podcast, and that didn't work out.
Yeah. Jake technically works for me in that he shows up randomly every once in a while. Like, he wasn't even, like, today he just showed up. He wasn't on the schedule or anything. He's just like, hello. I'm like, okay. I guess there's some stuff you can do.
Isn't he supposed to be working at a different place?
Yeah.
Better pay?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's got another job that pays really, really well, but he's Jake, so he couldn't just quit because then he'd feel like he was failing me somehow. And so he stayed working for the company, but he hasn't worked a single day in like 4 months. And so, like, we're going to have to fire you if you don't work at least once every couple weeks. And so he came in for like 4 hours today. So technically he worked. It's like, Jake, just go away. I'll hire somebody else.
Oh, and I'm kind of planning on playing Crucible Guard when it comes out.
Maybe. What if they suck?
If they're not fun to play, I won't play them. But, I mean, I like my jump pack dudes.
Yeah. Fucking rip off Convergence guys. Proximo.
What I really want is, I want to actually, for the next year, I want to start up a campaign for the next limited faction. I want to see them expand the Cephalix.
Into their own little faction?
Into their full-on, their own little faction. It's something that they could just easily add a couple of things here and there. They could add a medium-based unit. They add a new caster.
And they can add light monstrosities, and they're mostly there.
Yeah, some...
They already have light monstrosities.
What?
In that they have monstrosities that cost like a single-digit number of points, which basically means that they're white.
Yeah. They're 10.
They don't have any single-digit costy ones?
No. It's 10... 11 and 14, I think.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Some light, some medium-based infantry troops of some sort, some kind of shooting units, possibly a gargantuan/colossal. I think that would be potentially easily done with them. Just give them just like a little bit more, even if they have to incorporate it from Crix, I guess. But I think it would be neat to see that actually be a full faction itself.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe. Yeah. That is Hungerford's favorite thing is the Cephalix, so you never know.
Yeah.
Well, you can poke Hungerford and convince him to do it when he's on this podcast live next week at 7 p.m. Central Time.
What? Are you telling me that if people tuned in at 7 p.m. Central on February 4th, they could listen to us speaking live with Privateer Press staff members about Crucible Guard and possibly other insider information?
Yes, Nathan, that's exactly what's going to be going on next week live at 7 p.m. Central.
It's fascinating. People should probably tell each other about that. That was really subtle. High five. We did a good job. I don't think anybody noticed.
I'm checking the timestamp so I can maybe cut it out of the podcast and then just play that live, like in a video on Cripple System. I should also see if we can take a look at Facebook Live, too, see if we can do something like that eventually.
Yeah.
Good times. Good times. Good times. Great oldies.
Yeah. I don't really have much else. I guess the other thing I'm planning on doing is, you know, we're talking about War Machine. I plan on playing some more Guild Ball too.
Okay. I can tell you more about my Usurper deck. Mm-hmm. Every time you bring up Guild Ball, just talk more about Gwent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I like Kador.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and do you guys have anything else you need to talk about?
I think we caught up on everything in the chat room, which is the important thing. Did we bother? Did anybody with the posting of the zaps and the grams and the?
I didn't see any zappity grumbles as part of the thing, other than what was posted in chat.
Legionnaires is saying that they think that Crucible Guard will have a lot of elemental immunities. I'm not sure where he heard that from.
I mean, if they're similar to those troopers. God, I can't think of what they're called. Not shock troopers.
Assault commandos?
Assault commandos, that's it. Yeah.
Why would they be?
I don't know.
They apparently, I mean, we've seen at least a couple of models with gas masks already, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen some of the art, and that's about it.
We've also seen somebody ripping off goddamn Convergence Tech fucking Proximo!
What?
One of the Laylee's solos is a straight-up Convergence model.
No.
It's a straight-up Convergence model.
Is he Chappie? Is that what he is?
It's Prospero.
Yeah, Prospero. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I said Proximo. Sorry. Yeah, Prospero's straight-up a Convergence solo.
Yeah.
It's just he's some guy who independently is like, hey, I can do this.
So he's Chappie, basically.
Well, Chappie didn't... I don't know.
I've never seen Chappie, but...
Chappie was a decent if flawed movie. The character of Chappie himself was really fun. I liked Chappie, the character, a lot more than I liked Chappie, the movie.
Mm.
But the movie was okay. There's some really dumb shit. Like Russell Crowe, he's grumpy because like he's losing funding for his project because they're going with like the Chappie robots instead. And his big thing is like mind control drones. We just put on a thing and then you just go, and you control the drone with your mind.
Okay.
So they show him like in like big part of like the final climax, he goes with his tech versus Chappie. So he's going to like attack him with his big thing, which includes he puts on a headset and then grabs a couple joysticks and starts controlling the joysticks. It's like, what? Like, this whole movie, you've been putting this guy forth that his tech was mind-controlled, and now he's got goddamn joysticks, and he's watching a screen, and he's just, like, doing this shit. So it's just, no, it's just a remote-controlled drone with a stupid headband.
Well, yeah, but you could see where the drone is going.
Sure, you could also do that.
You also could do it, so it's just fully mind-controlled. Yeah, I know, I understand. Yeah.
Like, I don't even mind the screen, but at least if the control's supposed to be thought, because his whole thing was like, oh, you get rid of the delay, right? Because it just becomes instinct and stuff. And he's got fucking Logitech keyboards and mice and joysticks. It did have Diantwood in it, though, and I like them.
Mm.
Although musicians trying to act does not always work out well.
Mm. I haven't seen it, so I really have no...
I've never even heard of it.
It's Neil Blomkamp's kind of... It's just one of his movies after District.
So 9. It's Johnny Five is Alive,
mm-hmm.
Okay, but with a New Zealand cop robot. So okay. Instead of like a RoboCop style where they take a human and make him a robot, this robot, you know, zap, yeah. Zap, whatever. So it's Short Circuit, but with a cop. But the interesting thing that Chappie does is that he is discovered or whatever, instead of by these nice people, like, you know, the lady and the Steve Guttenberg and the disturbing brown face actor that we all pretend didn't happen. Instead of that happening, he's rescued by thugs and gang members. And so they're teaching him, like, oh, no, this is how this is, you know, because Chappie's like a baby. He's like, I want to be good. I want to be good. It's like, okay, this is how you're good. Like, you take these guns and you point them at people and they give you their money. And it's a game that people play and it's happy and fun. And then, like, they shoot a guy. And he's like, he's sleeping. Yay! Chappie has no idea what's going on.
Okay.
But it's worth seeing. It's not a bad movie at all. It just had some flaws, but Chappie's great because it's what's his face, and he's always good.
Neil Blomkamp, or you're talking about
the actor is what's his face, who played Wickus in District 9. He was in
the A Team.
He was in the A Team. He was in First Person McJumpy Kick. Hardcore Henry. He was in Hardcore Henry.
I haven't watched that yet. Have you watched it?
I have not watched it.
I heard if you like video games and you like that thing, it's good.
I heard that there are some fun sequences, but it's hard to maintain that level of adrenaline over an hour and a half unless you are crank two, even crankier.
Somebody was asking...
What the fuck is his name? God damn it.
Somebody was asking if there would be a Crippled System D&D cast. I mean, we can't even get together for a normal podcast weekly sometimes.
Hey, we did a Iron Kingdoms cast once.
Yeah. It didn't go very well.
Charlton Copley.
Yeah.
Well, oh yeah, it went fucking terribly because one person was sick in the corner. Like, Brian was literally dying in the corner. Yeah.
No, the audio wasn't going very well, too, because we were dealing off of the Shay's Wi-Fi. And
it was terrible in general.
Yeah. I don't know. It may be something we'd look at in the future.
I'd be willing to do it.
There's already role play that has all the cool voice actors, and then there's that other one with the porn stars, and I can't remember the title of that one.
Well, Critical Role is the one, the other one you're talking
about. Is that Critical Role?
That's with all the voice actors.
Whatever it is with the voice actors, yeah.
With Matthew Mercer.
What was the porn stars playing D&D called?
I don't know.
You don't have to watch me Google.
But, yeah, I mean, we could do something like that, but, again, it's just more so finding the time and... I mean, with me trying to go to War Machine events, Guild Ball events, and then trying to run War Machine and Guild Ball events. And
no, the way we need to do that is we pick random people from the audience to DM for us.
Sure,
that's.
I hit it with my axe. By the way, was what the what that one was called?
Oh, the porn one.
Yeah.
Oh. That would be, I guess. Potentially okay. I mean, if we would have to have them remote in.
I'm easy. I'll play anything. Fuck it.
I was going to say we could also get the random guys from Pegasus on Wednesday nights to come down and game with us. It would be so much fun.
No.
Oh, no. Our podcast should be surreptitiously filming those guys.
We could.
Like goddamn Crocodile Hunter and just judge them. Jesus, they're like one strike away from being kicked out of the store because they like spent a half hour role playing buying pornography.
Yep.
Like in the game, their characters were buying porn, and instead of being a uncomfortable quick chuckle where somebody just says, "Oh, my character's gonna buy porn," and okay, and then you move on with your life, they fucking are play it for a half an hour.
Uh-huh. Well, that was the same group that also spent like an hour talking about groceries.
Yeah.
To buy groceries for their, you know, like when in any other normal D&D campaign that I've been in, you're like, I'm going to buy supplies for the road. Well, how much would that cost? That would cost 2 gold. Yeah. All right. Thank you. And then, we go on our way.
An inordinate amount of time talking about the tax policy of Fantasy Kingdoms.
Well, yeah, because they're trying to say, fucking A, man, just buy your.
Buy
your shit and go kill a dragon.
Yeah.
Just go kill a fucking dragon. Don't discuss the fact that the town you're in, the rice is unusually inexpensive, but the fish are surprisingly expensive. Who fucking cares? It's a copper per week of food. Go, go, go.
Well, Archer Circle, you should come back more often and quietly laugh at them with us.
If your D&D campaign in public is all about economics in a fantasy world,
that's the thing is like porn and D&D have something in common, which is that you should do it in your own home. Don't take it to a public space and force us to watch it happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
I will say that there is a strong crossover between the people I have played D&D with and the people that were invited to my wedding.
Sure. Sure.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I don't mind the groups in there. Actually, the other groups there are actually really good. The kids group that shows up over on the side, they're great. I mean, they're good. It's honestly just that one group that bring up very very odd subjects. Weirdos. It's just something to me personally. D&D stays home. You game in your basement and
be mindful that you're in public.
Correct.
Like do whatever you want there, but don't talk about buying porn and don't loudly for an hour and a fucking half talk about the taxes on the groceries in your goddamn town. Nobody cares. Nobody fucking cares. Shut up.
Try to bring in less smelly food too,
and less smelly people.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's more of the food that one of them brings some
both.
horrible
At least
stuff.
They don't literally shit on the floor like the Yu-Gi-Oh players did.
That's true too. I mean that is something that happened at Pegasus, and that was the reason why Yu-Gi-Oh does not exist at Pegasus anymore.
Today on Crippled System, the hierarchy of gamers.
Oh my lord.
Yeah.
I don't care what your hobbies are, man. Just don't shit on the floor. Fuck. Unless that is your hobby, in which case, fine, but do it on your own floor.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe that existed. I mean, that happened, I think. It's just...
Well, it's... I can't remember if it was Steve or James who did a breakdown, and he kind of explained, and apparently it's universal that, and I guess, sorry if you're a Yu-Gi-Oh player listening, but you're in a group of terrible people, because apparently Yu-Gi-Oh players are pretty universally terrible. Because like Steve was talking about how he was at an ACD Games Day where like industry people were talking whatever, and there were other game stores around. They were complaining about their Yu-Gi-Oh players. They were all bonding over complaining about Yu-Gi-Oh, and Steve was like, "Yeah, we just banned Yu-Gi-Oh from our store." And they all like, oh, "You can do that?" Yeah. Like, they were amazed by that. But yeah, you shit on the floor, you get banned. But they were talking about like comparing Yu-Gi-Oh to Pokemon.
Yeah.
You know, you got these two card games.
Very, very popular cartoons.
Two card games that have cartoons where people, you know, whatever, whatever. But if you look at Pokemon, it's all about friendship. It's all about overcoming adversity. Ash loses, like, every goddamn tournament. Like, Ash sucks at Pokemon. He's really bad at Pokemon. But he doesn't care. He does his best, gosh darn it, and hooray, and we're all happy, and we tried, and that's what it's really about, is having fun.
They usually just defeat Team Rocket.
Though, yeah.
Which is, I mean, he may not win the whole thing.
No, but when he gets to the tournament, he invariably gets thrashed. But sure, he's okay with his fourth place finish because he tried and he had fun, and God bless you, Squirtle. You did your best, and I love you anyway. Whereas in Yu-Gi-Oh,
Squirtle's the best.
It's all about cheating.
Gaming the system.
Yeah, like the characters, the heroes, all fucking about, cheat.
It's all about gotchas.
It's gotchas and blatant hiding a card up the sleeve and fucking a guy over because nothing matters except him losing.
Yep.
You know, the old standby, it is not enough that I win, my opponent must lose. Mm-hmm. And there's a distinction there. And that's what the message of Yu-Gi-Oh is. And so the people playing it, that's the fucking message they get.
Yep.
And then they shit on the floor.
Is that part of the cartoon too?
Yeah. Yu-Gi-Oh's, you know, he gets the fucking stupid table arm thing, and then he shits on that.
Yeah, it's meant so you can play anywhere you want. And like, I can't make it to the toilet, so I go down right here. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, there's an episode where he's putting cards on that stupid blue plastic wing while shitting and maintaining unbroken eye contact.
and it's not just all shitting, it's just continuous farting, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, it is not an easy shit.
Into a juicy fart.
Yeah. My blue-eyed dragon!
Blue eyes! Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't believe... So, my favorite thing that... The only thing I know about the actual gameplay mechanics of Yu-Gi-Oh! Mm-hmm. It shows how badly designed the game is, too, besides being played by terrible people who shit on floors, is there's no limit to the numbers of card that you could have in your deck. So you could have, like, 50 of one card if you wanted to have 50 of that one card. Okay, there might be specific cards that are limited, like unique specials, but the basic ones you can just have a million of. They're like land and magic. And so... The thing, too, I know is that there are five cards that if you ever have all five of them in your hand at the same time, you instantly win. Because it's like Voltron, and you have this the two arms, the two legs, and the head slash torso, and it forms Mega Murder Man, and you just win the game.
Sure.
So there's those five cards. And then there's a card called like Magic Pot or something that costs zero to play, and it was draw two cards. So you would make a deck that was those five cards and 50 Magic Pots, and... immediately win any game you ever played. Game design.
I challenge you Yu-Gi-Oh players to debunk that.
No, it's true. Like I think Magic Pot might be banned now, but I just saw a thing about that. Yu-Gi-Oh, I'm going to Google it. Magic Pot. It's probably not called Magic Pot. It's probably called like Ghost Pot or Shit on the Floor Pot or
It's just nice that we have the Privateer Press people coming on the episode after the shitting on the floor episode.
And we could talk about that with them, too.
Pot of greed.
Can we talk about, like, any kind of bathroom incidents that happened at the Mox, maybe?
Yep, pot of greed is indeed a banned card now.
Somebody mentioned that High Command is a much better game than Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yes!
Yes. Otherwise, I mean, if anybody has any other questions, we want to pop into the chat. Otherwise, we're probably going to get around to recommendations. And thank you guys for being in the chat, though. It's been pretty active tonight.
Yeah.
Do you have any recommendations, Nate? I didn't mean to put you on the spot immediately like that.
I thought I did, and now I can't remember what it was. All I've done for the last 2 weeks is play Gwent and Darkest Dungeon. But I've recommended those before.
Yeah.
So, fuck it. Watch Chappie. It's okay.
I'll recommend strategy RPGs because recently I've been playing through one of the Fire Emblem games on Nintendo DS and enjoying it because I am just horribly addicted to the little strategy RPGs, and you're twitching.
No, I twitched because I did think of something I could recommend. But no, those are good. Yeah. No, I remember because I was. You can go ask because I'll jump this in here because I flipped out about this on Facebook, but I don't think I talked about it on the podcast. Which is, I found out recently that just within the last half a year or so, they finally released another English language localization of a Coldcept game. I don't think I talked about Coldcept. It on the podcast, huh?
Coldcept,
yeah. So there was one on the PlayStation 2 that made it over, and then I think there was one that came over like on the Xbox the next year, but I didn't have an Xbox, so I didn't get that one. And then it's been like since the PlayStation 2 was out, so what's that, like a decade now, since one has come to America, and one came to the 3DS. And Coldcept is a lot of fun. What it basically is it's Monopoly meets Magic the Gathering. Okay. Because it's a roll and move. And you know, you move X spaces and you land on an empty spot and you buy it like you would Monopoly, like that's your space now. But instead of building hotels and whatnot to charge rent, you put monsters on there to defend the territory. And when people land on the territory, they either pay the rent, or they can try to fight the monster with their own monster. And if their monster wins, they take the territory away from you. And then you can level up the territories to like have stronger defenses for your monster if it matches the elemental type, mm-hmm. and also increase the rent similar as you do in Monopoly. But it's a fucking baller game. And then because of the deck building aspect of it as well is from the Magic Gathering. So if you're going to play like on a very blue heavy board, you might make like a water creature deck, and there's synergy. So if you like CCGs and watching them somehow make Monopoly amazing, you should get a Coldcept game. And like I said, there was one for the PlayStation 2 that I played the fuck out of, and one is relatively recently came out to the 3DS. So those of you who have a 3DS, grab that Coldcept game. It's a lot of fun.
If it's on the 3DS, more likely eventually when they add the full store to the Switch.
I'm really hoping I can get it on my Switch. But
Nintendo seems they're very adamant on keeping the 3DS and the Switch separate, which is sad because, I mean, Switch is really awesome for being able to travel with and play your games on that. And, I mean, they're both portable gaming systems. I don't understand why you can't have it for both because it's basically a potential for them to make just double the money. Or they're still going to make money either way. They don't want to invalidate people with 3DS purchases.
I did find out my stepson has a 3DS, so I might buy it and just borrow his. Someone in chat wants me to spell it, and that person can just look up two lines because RuneWise spelled it correctly directly above them in chat.
C-U-L-D-C-E-P-T.
Yes.
Oh, did he miss the D? Yeah, C-U-L-D-C-E-P-T. Coldcept. It's a lot of fucking fun. The PlayStation 2 one was, I probably played that more than any non-Final Fantasy PlayStation 2 game. Played it so much.
Somebody did ask me, and this is before I give my recommendation, asked me my thoughts on Kingdom Death. We played the little Kingdom Death monster. This is our second week into it. This is our third hunt in the game. Brian has died in two of the hunts already. We've been screwed over on supplies. I don't know if you've played it at all.
Yeah, I played it. I played one session, which had like four or five hunts because we played for like 5 hours at Marshall's one time. our first opening fight against the lion.
Yeah.
I threw my Founder Stone at it. It hit it in the throat and killed it instantly. Which is like a 1 in 1,000 odds of that happening.
So we've gone on 3 hunts against the lion. We have gathered maybe about 3 bone.
Well, that's not good.
No, we gathered a lot of other things. I mean, like our third hunt, we went against them that we ended up having like full suits of leather armor and stuff like that. That changed the tide battle, but we still don't have any bones. So we had like 2 knives we made at the beginning, and then I punch them.
The third time we hunted the lion at that session, like we had had some, my person went insane, and then like some full moon came out that made something happen. And so for the next hunt, which was against the lion, my survivor had 4 armor on every single body part. Sure. And an additional 3 armor on the head. So I had 7 armor on my head. So the lion literally chewed on my head for 3 turns in a row, and I didn't even care. It was fucking hilarious. I'm like, yeah, whatevs.
So
I had better luck than you.
Yeah, we have not been had good luck. Brian, I don't think, is very happy with the game at all, because like that's kind of the only real drawback. And I was going to post it on my picture, because I post a picture and some people were asking what I think about it. I don't like the player elimination fact. So if that lion or whatever beast it is just immediately just eliminates somebody right away, which it can happen.
Yeah.
You know, he could just grab somebody, drag him off, and then just blah, 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 he's dead. That sucks. Player elimination sucks for any game. And it's...
Yeah.
It basically...
I mean, the hunts themselves... I mean, I guess it depends on the deficit of elimination, right? Like, it depends how long the hunts are versus then the town time. You know, what counts as elimination versus losing a turn? You know what I mean?
Well,
I totally get your point. I'm not saying you lose a turn. I'm just saying, like, if a hunt is a half hour out of a 2-hour session, sure. I mean, that is a big chunk of time, but it's not like you're out of the game.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird in between. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. It sucks if on a hunt, the first thing that happens is you die. But at least you know that, like, once that hunt's over, you're still in the game. You'll just get a new survivor.
Yeah. And that happened to Brian basically twice. He was eliminated right away in our previous one, where Jordan and I were the only 2 left. And then this where we ran 2 hunts in that 3-hour period, Brian was eliminated immediately. And then the second hunt, Brian was severely maimed immediately. So, I mean, overall, the game is fun. It just seems it seems like paperwork, the game, because the village scene sequence is really just all about taking notes. And it's more so the experience of building the village, I guess.
If you had like a table that you could devote to it so you never had to tear down your village, you wouldn't necessarily have to take as many notes, because a lot of that stuff you just like keep out.
Sure.
But no, I hear what you're saying.
Otherwise, I mean, it's a fun game. I don't know how fanatic I am about it. As compared to like my love of Warhammer Quest or Shadows of Brimstone, I like those much better. This one is pretty decent. It is fun learning and working with the AI of the monsters, because even though we fought the lion 3 times now, he's acted differently each time, and we know that Jim always draws the trap card. Every single time he has drawn that fucking trap card. It's fun.
You haven't played it, have you?
No.
Okay. It's like I said, it's not my most favorite of kind of like the scenario type battle games.
Sure.
But it's worth playing. I mean, if you like the models, I mean, the models are freaking gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful looking game. I just wish there was more to it for the hunts, because the hunts are played on a very bland board, because it's just the grids.
Sure, sure.
Grids with, you know...
But you put terrain and stuff out on there.
Yeah, but it's just like blocks. It doesn't...
Sure.
I wish it was a little bit more variety to it in that regard. Even though you're putting down terrain, it still just looks like the same thing, just a different beast on it.
Well, how many different have you just done? The lion and the stag. Have you gotten into stuff beyond that?
We have not gone. We were going to fight the antelope, and we did not.
So you've just done the lion so far. We've
just done the lion so far. We'll do the antelope next time.
Yeah.
But yeah, my recommendation then is to get the Mutant Football League.
Mutant League Football. Yep.
No.
It's Mutant Football League?
It's Mutant Football League.
There's a new one.
It's MFL.
What?
Mutant League Football was the original one, but right, they don't have the trademark for it.
Oh, I didn't realize they had to disguise it.
Yeah. So they couldn't really run it. So this is the one that just came out on all the systems. I think it was actually out in November for PC. But it has been released on Xbox One and PS4.
Speaking of which, to answer chat, of course I'm still playing Darkest Dungeon. Of course I'm playing Darkest Dungeon, you jerk.
Yeah. I am playing it as well.
Darkest Dungeon?
Yeah. I played a lot when it first came out. And
what are you playing on, PC or?
PlayStation right now.
Do you know, is it, because this was a quality of life change that, so I took a couple weeks off when I got harder into Gwent, and then I rebought it for the Switch. So, like, I hadn't played with the Shieldbreaker DLC, mm-hmm. A little bit with the Flagellant, so, like, when Crimson Court came out, and then I took a bit of a break, and I got it with the Switch. On the Switch version, when you interact with curios, it flat-out marks the items in your inventory that will give you beneficial results from the curio.
Yeah.
Is that true on all versions now?
Because originally, on the PlayStation, I haven't played the PC in quite a while.
That must be a quality of life improvement they did. Because there's actually a website that it still exists, but it's now apparently redundant. Where it had a list of all the curios, because it didn't used to tell you. You would just have to memorize that if I'm interacting with an Iron Maiden, I should use medicinal herbs because it cleans the spikes and I get a good result. And you would just have to remember these interactions. But now, when you pull up the inventory, it just flat out shows you the good result ones. Which is a huge quality of life improvement, because it's kind of dumb to not have that, given that anybody with a piece of paper could just know.
And that was my recommendation for Mutant Football League. It's a very fast game. Some folks that have watched me play it compared it a lot to like Blitz. Mm-hmm. It's extremely fast.
Yeah, the animation reminds me a lot of Blitz.
Yep. It's just as violent as normal. Like today when I was playing David right before the podcast, I lost my two of my quarterbacks.
Oh no.
Yeah. And then like most of my defense.
But not Mr. Fister or whatever that guy's name was.
That was from I don't know what team he was on. But it's an amazing football game. It's a lot of fun.
I think that guy's name was a mistake, like, because they're just modular. Or you don't name them, right? Those are just names that they have.
That's what they have normally, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, does it just kind of like randomize names from a pool of first names and last names?
Nope.
Oh, so they purposely chose that guy's name?
Chose that name, yep.
Because I just thought, like, Fist by itself is just, you know, a first name, like naming a guy Brick or Slab or something. And then, you know, you could have Murder and Destroy and Harass as last names, but then this guy's name is Fist Harass. And when you say that, it doesn't sound like Fist and Harass.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they chose that name on purpose is either great or terrible.
Yeah.
I think they originally had that game on Kickstarter probably about 2 or 3 years ago, and it almost succeeded, but I think they ended up taking it down. But the guy who originally created the old Mutant League Football and the Mutant League Hockey way back in the day, he's the guy who made this one here.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's nice to see a game that's actually done by one of their original designers actually be as good as what it used to be, unlike Mighty Number 9, which is, you know,
on the bright side, Mega Man 11's coming out.
And Bloodstained is coming out soon. That was supposed to be
the Castlevania thing.
That was supposed to be out like a year ago as well, but that I'm excited for that because I like those games.
Well, everybody liked Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Nobody didn't like Symphony of the Night.
I think Jim doesn't like it now.
Great, yes, because everybody likes it, so Jim has to hate it.
We haven't been able to get Jake to play it yet.
Jake won't. Jake doesn't. You have to actually have a gun on him in order for him to complete an action.
There's a 20-something kid at work who's actually friends with my stepdaughter, so I know him outside of work too. But he was talking about like Dark Souls and games like that, and I'm like, dude, I will give you $200 if you can beat Mega Man 1. I said, you have no time limit, and the only restriction is you can't use the pause abuse glitch to, you know, elect beam things in one hit.
Sure.
I'm like, you could practice for months Yeah, I don't fucking care. You ain't beating it.
If you have somebody that's into something, I mean, Dark Souls is a throwback to that style of gameplay where it's just really difficult.
Dude, Mega Man 1.
Mega Man 1 is tough, but I've beat it.
You've not beaten Mega Man 1.
I don't think
you have beaten 2 and 3 and 4. I've beat
Mega Man 1.
With pausing on the Yellow Devil. I don't believe you. You're a liar. You, sir, are a liar.
That was
Nobody has beaten Mega Man 1 or Ninja Gaiden.
Okay, I've not beaten Ninja Gaiden. I gave up on Ninja Gaiden, but I beat Mega Man 1.
Okay, to talk about how insane things are. You remember Battletoads?
Of course I remember Battletoads.
Yeah, did you ever beat Battletoads?
No.
No.
So
especially because I played it co-op, and it's impossible to beat co-op because it's hard enough on your own, but when one person dying means you both just lose.
So I just watched on Awesome Games Done Quick, which is an amazing charity stream that they do. Just a lot of speed running for video games. I just watched somebody do a blindfolded run of the race car section in Battletoads.
The race car section is what I could not get past in Battletoads.
He did it blindfolded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I beat Skull Monkeys.
Hell yeah. A little neighborhood action.
But have you... There's also another one that I saw blindfolded as well, which is the Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah,
two people racing to beat Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. They came in within like a minute of each other, racing through the game.
Yeah.
I watched somebody play fucking Punch-Out.
And Super Punch-Out
on the same controller.
His one controller was controlling both games at the same time.
Nice. So it would actually, because start on the NES controller would actually... do the super punch, it would also pause the other game too.
So he abused the shit out of that.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, he'd win one match on one screen. It's like, great, I have 45 seconds before the next match starts. I can concentrate over here finally.
Yeah, it wasn't actually playing it exactly at the same time, but it was.
Well, he was staggered. It's just because of the way the games worked, he was able to stagger the matches. I mean, otherwise, it's fucking impossible.
Yeah.
Also, somebody on the chat saying Mega Man gets speedrun pretty often. Yeah, by liars and robots.
There's
the tag team.
The tag team one. Yeah. You've just been watching them too, yeah. I assume.
Dude, to me, the most amazing of this year's Games Done Quick was the guy who did Dragon Warrior for the NES.
I don't remember how long it was. I just don't know if I could watch it.
It was 25 minutes.
It was?
Okay. For the original Dragon Warrior. He talked about
what?
Yes. So here's the thing with Dragon Warrior. There is an internal clock, basically, that goes every time you step, it advances by one. And when you're idle, it advances by one per frame. So 60 times per second. That clock dictates when enemies attack. So this guy would literally, like, he'd pause and walk and pause and walk and do it exactly correctly so that he knew where that timer was at all times so that he would never get attacked by anything unless he wanted to. So he just walked and got Erdrick's sword and armor without fighting anything. Like, he got to where metal slimes would be. And then beyond that, it was like, within the fight, he's like, all right, this particular fight, if I hit cancel 5 times, on the 6th time it says command, if I hold up an attack, it'll automatically give me a critical one-hit kill. And if I do this, and I pause for a quarter of a second and then do this, my sleep spell will guarantee put him to sleep and they'll never wake up. Like, he knew this. And he knew it not by cracking the game, but through trial and fucking error. He was talking about they learned it. They would just walk. And if he got attacked, he would walk again. He would reset the game, walk again, and just pause for a quarter second before that next step. And then he would write down whether he got attacked. And it's just trial and fucking error. He had to name his guy exclamation point because that determined how the clock would work because it's based on your character name. I haven't seen somebody understand the inner workings of a game more than that guy's speedrunning. It was actually hypnotic.
Even the Superman 64 speedrun was entertaining to watch. Mm-hmm. And that game is hot shite.
Yeah. But it's hilarious because he starts the Dragon Warrior one by saying, like, yeah, I did like a 4-hour and 37-minute, like, it was a world record. And then, like, the next day, this guy released a video proving this clock existed. And then we worked on it. And then I had like a 40-minute run. Like, that's how it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen Dragon Warrior in that. And I've been interested in watching, like, the Legend of Zelda, the newest one. I saw that was speedrun too, and I'm like, I don't know if I can, if I want to sit down and watch it for an hour and a half.
The interesting thing about so there's a Legend of Zelda race that they did, the Link to the Past, the Super Nintendo one. That was really interesting because it was a race between two guys, and it was with a randomizer. And this randomizer is super cool. I want to find where you can download it because I would love to just play this game. But the way it works is like, Link to the Past is basically a Metroidvania, right? Because you have to get item to enter this one, mm-hmm. and you have to get that item to go there, and blah, blah, blah. So what the randomizer does is it takes those like 30 key items that are in 30 certain chests and shuffles them and throws them back out there. So the boomerang might be, you know, over here, and then this is over there. And so it's all random. And so these guys can't see each other's screens, so they don't know what – they're both doing the same random arrangement, but they don't know what route the other guy's going with. And, of course, their strategy is like, if I go here, it has the most chests close to each other. But if I go over here, this, that, and the other. And then, of course, as soon as one of them finds a certain item, they're going to change based on, well, now I have the flute, so I can use the bird to teleport around. And then this race was also a swordless race, so they had no swords to kill anything. They had to use all their other items.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of like wall hacks and wall strats with
they weren't doing that but as well. One guy knew how to fly, which is a thing in Link to the Past. If you like dash like at the right frequency, like 4 frames on, 2 frames off, 4 frames or whatever, you can actually just walk over pits once you have the Pegasus boots, because the game checks. It doesn't constantly know if you're on ground. It just checks every once in a while to make sure that you're still on ground. And if you know how often it checks and you're dashing, you can just fly over shit. So that guy was just floating around and flying past obstacles. And the other guy couldn't fly. But no, that randomizer looked really fucking fun. Like anybody who likes Link to the Past, which is the best Zelda game ever, should look into seeing if that's available. I think they said it was just on their website because they said just do it with your friends. So I would recommend downloading that shit.
Yeah, any of the 2D... Zeldas are good. Yeah. I've heard any amazing things about Breath of the Wild as well.
Yeah.
But yeah. Actually, any of the Zelda games are really good. Even Zelda 2. It's a challenging game.
I love Zelda 2.
It's a challenging game, but I mean, like, all those games are good.
People shit on Zelda 2 because it's different from all the other Zeldas, but Zelda 2 is a really fun game with a really good challenge curve, and then you get to the last dungeon and it shits down your throat.
Yeah. I hate the fucking knights in that game.
They're easy.
The knights with the shields.
You jump, and while you're falling, just stab, and your sword will either hit their face or it'll hit their shield and then hit their shins as you fall.
Yeah,
guaranteed hit every time.
Yeah, I've always had troubles with them.
Yeah, I know, they're tough, but that's how you kill them.
All right, so I guess that's pretty much it. Talking about random video games.
I feel like my honor has been challenged on Mega Man 1.
I just, you're just a liar. That's all I'm saying. I'm sorry if that impugns your honor, you liar. Maybe next time don't lie.
I'm just saying, can we get something that'll run a copy of Mega Man 1? And damn it,
I have it right downstairs.
Yeah. I have every Mega Man game on my PS4 because they had the two collections. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, so it's all the numbered Mega Mans.
Yeah.
One through 10. It's all 10 of them.
Yep.
True story.
We're not going to stream that, though, but that would be something that would be...
I did discover something interesting. I was playing Mega Man 2 yesterday, and I hit Woodman a fatal blow at the same time that one of his falling leaves hit me a fatal blow. So he died while I was in the exploding animation, but it counted as a win for me.
Yeah, I've done that.
I'd never managed to get pixel-perfect simultaneous murder before.
Awesome. All right. I guess we're going to call it quits. Thanks, folks, for watching. Thank you for our Patreons. Sean, I'm going to drink your mead.
It's good mead.
It's pretty good, Sean.
All right. Thanks for watching.
Toodles. Oh.